Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. From you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself would gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up the shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they will not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, where I will rise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In the days, Judea will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 46. We will read it responsibly by verse.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear.
Rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult,
the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be overthrown.
much ado, and the kingdoms are shaken. God has spoken, and the earth shall melt away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now and look upon the works of the Lord. What awesome things he has done on earth.
It is he who makes war to cease in all the the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still then and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strong.
A reading from the letter to the Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in which we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things, in dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things are held together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the Christ. Cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He loved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, "Do you not know? Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I traveled to England when I was in my 20s. I think it was after 9/11. And so the airport situation was a little strange. And I remember getting there on a Sunday morning and being totally jet-lagged. I mean, it was... and I've always been really susceptible to that. So I had traveled to Asia at one point, and man, it was like for like 2 weeks I was adjusting. And then on the way back, I was adjusting too. So I was kind of out of it, and I was there to meet some friends. And they said, "We should go to St. Paul's Church in London and go to services." And, you know, I've been Episcopalian all my life. So I walk in there, everything seems familiar. I'm half asleep. I'm like, this seems right. Everything sounds right. And then we get to the prayers of the people. I'm like, yeah, this sounds right. And then all of a sudden I hear, "And God save the Queen." Oh, not in Kansas any longer. This is different. I must say that since that day, before then, even now, I mean, I remember the death of Diana, right? And that was I was a teenager. No, I was in my 20s when that happened. It just... Not really, even now, not really understanding the monarchy, the crown in England, and why this is such a big, important thing to folks there. Casey and I cannot agree on television, but we do watch The Crown together, and I think it's become a little bit more clear through that television show. I will say, like, if you haven't watched The Crown on Netflix... do not take from my sermon that I'm encouraging to binge watch things on Netflix. That it's, if you want to read the Bible instead, that would be way better use of your time. But if you get tired of Leviticus, you get halfway through Leviticus and you think, "I need something else," and you turn on The Crown, it's a worthwhile television show. I think they do a really good job of highlighting some really wonderful things about the monarchy, but also acknowledging and dealing with those more troublesome aspects of the monarchy. And they've released a recent season, and it, you know, the timing of the whole thing. So the most recent season has just come out, and as you know, Queen Elizabeth died recently, and Charles has ascended as Charles III. And the show is dealing with the time when Diana and Charles are having their troubles, and so it seems an inauspicious time to be broadcasting that, but Netflix went right on ahead. So what's interesting, though, I mean, one aspect of this thing is how What they're dealing with is how this hoary institution, that word means old, do not write the bishop. This old institution has like collided with modernity, right? That's kind of what the show is about. My son is without parent walking up the aisle here. Come on, buddy. He's got his slough in his hand. All right. Show stealer. All right. So it's dealing with how this institution is colliding with the modern world, and that there are many aspects of this institution that that has been brought forth in many ways from antiquity into now that don't make sense in a modern world. And the main protagonist in this season, I guess, is Charles, and he's a big advocate of adapting the institution to the 21st century, and we're all sort of on the edge of our seats wondering what that could possibly mean. I think that it's apt to celebrate Christ the King Sunday because it gives us the opportunity to wonder about how we carry this Christian institution, right? These rituals, this time together, these things that we do, this way in which we express our faith, these claims that we make about the world around us, how those claims that we have been handed out of antiquity come into the modern world and in many ways slam right up against it. And I believe that some of what we are dealing with, some of the challenges of church in the 21st century is due to the fact that that the modern world and the postmodern world are making claims, epistemological, ontological claims about the reality of the world in which we exist, that are in some ways seem contradictory to the claims that the faith has made coming forward, right? And we as Christians find ourselves in the fray of that, coming up against that. Christ the King Sunday is a new thing. It's relatively in the life of the church, it's a new thing. It's about 100 years old. It's 1925, I think. Coming out of the First World, Pope Pius the Ninth said that he was concerned that that after the Enlightenment, after figures like Nietzsche and who's the evolution guy? Somebody help me out here. Darwin. After the claims made by these folks that in many ways the cultures around, especially Western Europe, are falling into a more secular way of being. And so he instituted Christ the King. That's how that holiday started. And he put it, calendar-wise, he put it right before All Saints Day, so like in October. And then over time, it naturally found its way to this, the very penultimate, the final Sunday of the calendar year. So if you don't know, next Sunday we will head headlong together, hand in hand, skipping into the new liturgical season that is Advent, knowing that the church is telling us slow down and the world is telling us it's time to speed up and really get going, right? And so we will move into that contradiction. And so now it's naturally moved, Christ the King Sunday has naturally moved to this Sunday, in which we wonder what it means to use this hoary concept of a king, of a monarch, of a sovereign, you know, in the modern world. What does it mean to put Christ in that place? Especially for people who find themselves in a democratic republic, who celebrate the fact that we do not have a monarch. What do we even think about this? What does it mean to put Christ in the center of that place? And so over time, this holiday has slowly moved its way. And in most of the Christian, even the Protestants, celebrate Christ the King Sunday. Even the Protestants, hear me out. Do you hear me? Even those Protestants. Just to be balanced, the Catholics. Celebrate this Sunday here. And just so you know, this is an interesting aside. It's free. I'm giving it to you. It's part of the sermon. You don't have to pay for it. Christ the King Sunday is not an official feast in the Episcopal Church. But a lot of Episcopal churches do it. And our readings sort of connect with it. So when it was before 1979, when everything got ruined with the new prayer book, right? So we wrote this new prayer book. It was not included. The reason being, probably, I think, is that the prayer book was a part of the liturgical movement, which that movement was all about sort of reclaiming very old ways of doing liturgy and worship. And by very old, I mean like 1st through 5th century type stuff. And so Christ the King Sunday was not part of the feast world back then. And so they didn't bring it forward into the 79 Book of Common Prayer, but it is ingrained in us in such a way that I can't think of an Episcopal church now that is not celebrating Christ the King Sunday today. I think if you look it up online, they say something like occasionally some Episcopal churches might, no. Episcopal churches, I mean, you would be hard-pressed to find an Episcopal church that's not. And our readings and our collect today all sort of grab onto this theme of Christ the King Sunday. So I think of, as I think of Christ the King Sunday and this reading from Luke, and this, just so you know, it's the last opportunity we're going to be in Luke for a long time, because Luke is a year C gospel, and we're leaving year C. Next Sunday, we'll be in year A, so we'll start right on over, and that's the Matthew year, and then we'll suffer through that year until we get to the Mark year, which is the best year, but right now, we're in the Luke year, and this is our last time to be in the Luke year. And remember that what Luke is up to. Luke is saying that Christ's inbreaking on the world around us, that Christ coming into the world, means a turning upside down. It means the things that you have rejected about yourself and the world around us, those things will be lifted up. And the things that you think are glorious and wonderful and powerful, those things will be brought low, right? There are many, many, many instances in the gospel that pick up on this theme. And today is no different, that that Jesus is in this most ignominious place. I mean, this very shameful place. And this is the day where Christ is on the cross being ridiculed by the leaders, by the soldiers, even by the people who are criminals being crucified with him. Jesus is finding himself ridiculed. And that is the image of Christ that we put up as we talk about him as our sovereign. Right? And what are we to do with that? How are we to handle that? We do not use, for example, Jesus like arguing with the Pharisees and putting those people to shame, or healing blind Bartimaeus, or performing some grand miracle. That is not the image of Jesus that we put up on Christ the King Sunday. Instead, the image that we choose for this Sunday is the Christ sacrificed, the Christ giving himself over, the Christ saying in the midst of being tortured, forgive, they do not know what they are doing. I think of Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years in prison, and during that time in prison, come to friend his captors, to understand folks on the other side of the political divide in a totally different way, which allowed him to be released, come to be the first black president of South Africa, and include a government that is that brings all people in, not you know, this very magnanimous step, right? And to begin a political process and a judicial process by which people can just, and the Reconciliation Commission can admit to the wrongs that they have committed, and by admitting them out in the public, be given clemency for those things, right? It is a magnanimous step for him to do that thing. Does not blind power grab, instead gives power over, right? I think of the Amish folks in 2006 up in Nickel Mine, in Pennsylvania, who lost their children tragically, to a deranged milk truck driver who came in angry at God and murdered some of their children, and then took his own life. And the actions of the Amish after that, right, after that event, was to, in an act of forgiveness, show up at his funeral, was to give money that was coming into their community to his widow and their children. That act of great forgiveness. I think of Mary Johnson, who in 2005 started a nonprofit called From Death to Life, which brings women and together who have lost their children to gun violence, was able to do that work after she forgave the man in prison who shot her son to death at a party almost 10 years prior. And now calls him her spiritual son, and carries on a relationship with him to this day, right? These are the folks I think about in this moment where we are asked to wonder, what does it mean to have a crucified Christ, have a crucified Christ as king? Old words around king are words like felty. I have a hard time saying that word. How do you spell that? F-A-E-L-T-Y, is that right? F-E-A-L-T-Y. Felty. That's why that nobody uses that word anymore, because nobody can say it. That's what it is. I think we use words now like fidelity and loyalty, but that word means like you owe something of yourself to a patron, to the Lord, right? That is an outmoded, antiquated concept, right? And to bring it forward into the modern world in some way feels awkward, or not, doesn't compute, doesn't comport with how we believe we are free people and should live our lives now. But that's what we are carrying into modernity with us, right? Into this world in which it seems like, in modernity, that the message that is most prevalent in the world around us is, how can you grab as much power as you can? How can you grab as much privilege as you can? How do you put folks who you disagree with down the most and suppress those folks? How do you stand tall so that your enemies can shrink away? That seems to be our posture politically, economically, in the 21st century, and yet we carry this Christ the King forward. What's interesting to me about the gospel today is that those two people that were crucified next to the Jesus, right, the two people that were crucified next to the Christ, one of them was able to recognize this moment, was able to see it, to know what was going on. And the question was, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you come into our kingdom. I think we stand with those criminals every day, given the opportunity to recognize the moments, the self-sacrifices, the Christ moments in the world around us. And we can either ridicule it, we can either stand apart from it, or we can say, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen. I invite you to stand as we celebrate and acknowledge our faith in song. Now let us pray for the good creation, for the church, and for all people.
I ask for prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our Bishop Bryan, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of God. Pray that they may be found and be found by God. I ask your prayers for the departed, especially Mitchell Dow and Fletcher Taylor. Pray for those who have died. We pray especially for the family of Mark Greenwell, Randy,
Eddie,
Christina,
Judy,
Harry,
Rick,
and Nate.
We pray for those concerns and those joys that you now name.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be back with you. Casey and I traveled to California. We were standing in the great Muirwood forest with all those giant redwood trees and the majesty of that. And we got a message in the 21st century. We got a message on our phone that said, your daycare is going to get shut down because there's foot, hand, and mouth disease going around. Yeah, it turns out that's a serious thing. So we came home to a sick baby and then immediately got sick ourselves. But everybody's feeling better, and I'm sorry we had to be away from you for so long. So it's good to be back now. There are some important things coming up. As you know, as you've heard, we are heading straight long, hand in hand, into the Advent season, which means that Christmas is right around the corner. So we take some time in the Advent season to slow down to wonder about this mystery. Part of that is, we don't sing Christmas hymns because we're dutiful Episcopalians. We're not those crazy Protestants out there singing Christmas hymns in December, right? We don't do that. Though, lo and behold, on Tuesday, December the 6th, at 6:30 p.m., you can wear your ugly Christmas sweater. There's a competition for that. Come to a St. Nicholas celebration, and we will sing Christmas hymns. Yes. And eat soup, and I'll say something inappropriate about St. Nicholas, and you all will appreciate that, or maybe not. And we'll have a grand old time. That is Tuesday, December 6th at 6:30. St. Albans is invited, so we're hopefully we'll have a good group here to celebrate this thing.
Else or dessert or something. I'm not like Courtney. I don't just think it's going to happen. So would you tell me that you're going to bring it? So I'll kind of know.
Did it happen?
lives on faith, Linda lives on planning.
That's right.
Yeah. So, let Linda know about what you're bringing to celebrate. So that's Tuesday the 6th. Go ahead and mark your calendars and be there for that. Christmas Eve, preparations are already underway at 5:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve, which is Saturday, December 24th. It's on a Saturday this year. We will have a very traditional service here at St. Thaddeus. He's saying I and stabbing me in the eyeball right now. And then on Christmas morning, which is Sunday this year, there'll be a broadcast. There won't be an in-person worship at St. Thaddeus or at St. Albans. There'll be a broadcast that morning. So that is our plan for Christmas this year. You're going to lose your coming up here privileges if you're not careful. All right. Yes, please. So by immediately, we mean get some coffee and snacks. And come on in where Courtney lives by faith. Did you have an announcement? Okay. Yes. Walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself for us. Did you have an announcement? Walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame sin and death, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of his name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, and your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Jude Thaddeus and all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in our lives. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted. Support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always.
Amen.
Before I dismiss you, I'd like to say that Kathleen was out of town this week, so all the many, many, many errors in the bulletin are mine. One of them is that I forgot to give credit to the Flower Guild, who gave the flowers this week in honor of their work and to the glory of God. So thank you to them. And directly after this service, there is refreshments to be had in the fellowship hall. Alleluia, alleluia, go forth into the world proclaiming the name that Christ is King.